Let's open our Bibles tonight to the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, chapter 39. Ezekiel 39. I want to read several verses tonight, and I'm going to give you a little update on some things concerning the second coming of Christ, and have not said a whole lot about some of the things that are going on, and the news, regardless of which news you're watching, it doesn't matter. The mainstream media is skewing what's going on. Even Fox is skewing what's going on, and so I want to give you something to think about tonight. I believe that the Lord is coming back soon. I believe that with all my heart, and I think that the Lord Jesus told us that when you see all these things come to pass, lift up your head, redemption draweth nigh. I have said to you many, many times that God has a plan, and that plan is revealed in this book, the Bible, and the main reason that so many people don't know what God's plan is because they don't read the book. Preachers don't read the Bible. Preachers read books by other preachers, but they don't read the Bible. Now, that's going to get some reaction, but nonetheless, 'tis true. And the Bible does not hide what God is going to do. And so in the Bible, from cover to cover, is a revelation of God's plan. Now, just as God has a plan, the devil has a plan. And God has revealed his plan to the redeemed. God has revealed his plan to the sons of God. And the devil has revealed his plans, and his plans are in a book, much like God's plan is in a book. The devil's plan is in a book. That book is called the Quran. All right? We have been taught. And I was taught this. You were taught this without maybe you even realizing that you were being taught this. But you have been conditioned into thinking over the last 20, 25 years that Islam is a peaceful religion. That's what we've been told. Now, the last 13, 14 years, I think, is evidence enough for anybody that has any common sense to realize that Islam is not a peaceful religion. I have had people say to me, well, you just don't understand. I say, okay, tell me what I don't understand. Well, Islam means peace. No, it doesn't. Islam, yeah, a piece of this and a piece of that. No, it means submission. It does not mean peace. That's a lie that came out of the same pit that birthed the religion. It does not mean peace at all. And it is anything but a peaceful religion. But yet, our country has been led to believe that this is a legitimate, valid religion, and that it should be respected and it should be taken seriously. Well, let me just say, wrong. It is a false religion, and it should not be taken seriously. It should be revealed and exposed for what it is. It is a lie, and plain and simple. You cannot have two right ways to heaven. You can't. No, there is one way. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. There's one way. And so we've been hoodwinked by the media and by Hollywood and by the networks into believing something that is not true at all. All right, now in Ezekiel 39, I want to read some verses to you. Look at verse 1. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog. All right, now who is Gog? Well, we learned that in 38, verse 2, son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. All right, now, we were taught in the Scofield Bible, and then, all like I said, preachers read books by preachers, but they don't really read the Bible very much. And that's kind of obvious in all the confusion that Mr. Scofield, with the best of intentions, C.I. Scofield, for all I know, was a good man, a good Christian, loved the Lord, was a great soul winner, but he put in his Scofield Bible that Gog is Russia. And Gog is not Russia. Gog is a title. This is a title that is given to the Antichrist. If you will look at it carefully, son of man, set thy face against Gog. That's a name. That is a name, all right? Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. This is Turkey. Meshach and Tubal are sections, regions in the country of modern day Turkey. Okay? So if you go over to verse 1 of chapter 39, God still had something to say after chapter 38, where we see the Gog, the Antichrist. That's a name for the Antichrist, Gog. It's a play on the word God. All right? That's all it is. He calls himself a God. The Antichrist will call himself God, according to Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2, but he's not a God. He's a Gog. He's a lie, if you will. All right, so here is the prophecy. God said, I will turn, 39:2, I will turn thee back and leave but a sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt, what's the next word?
Fall.
Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beast of the field to be devoured. Look down at verse 11. In verse 11 it says, and it shall come to pass in that day. What day? In the day when Gog is destroyed, is defeated at the battle of Armageddon. In Israel, in the north of Israel. And so verse 11 says that in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel. the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea. And it shall stop the noses of the passengers. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means there's going to be such a destruction and so much death. Remember, in Revelation, John said the blood was up to the horses' bridles. All right, this is the entire Muslim world coming at Jerusalem. And they're going to be stopped in the Valley of Megiddo at the Battle of Armageddon. And the smell is going to be horrendous. You walk by there, you're going to have to hold your nose from the stench of death. And there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the Valley of Haman Gog. And Haman Gog means the multitudes of Gog. All right? Now, this battle is at least 7 years from tonight. You with me on that? At least 7 years from tonight. Should the rapture happen tonight, this battle will take place in 7 years. All right, so with that understanding, I want you to listen to what I'm going to share with you here in just a moment. All right, let's pray, and then we'll start. Father, we ask your blessings now upon us. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for showing us in your Word and revealing what is going to happen. And it is so easy for us to get weary in well-doing. I suppose that's why Paul challenged us not to let that happen. But Father, may we have confidence in your Word and what thus saith the Lord. And may you bless your Word to our hearts tonight. Help us to see just how quickly things are developing. Help us to see, as Paul said, that the day of the Lord is at hand. And Father, as we think of that day, our prayer is, even so come, Lord Jesus. So Father, bless now and give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you have watched the news or paid any attention to what is happening over in the Middle East over the last couple of weeks, about 2 weeks, you have heard some conflicting reports. You have heard Moscow, the Russians, Vladimir Putin, you have heard Moscow reporting that they are bombing ISIS targets. But concerning the same bombing raids, the media in America, what's coming out of Washington D.C., the District of Corruption, concerning the same bombing, their reporting is that Russia is bombing the anti-Assad freedom fighters. All right, so you're getting conflicting reports here. All right, now, the question is, who is lying and who is telling the truth? All right, now, here's the answer. You ready? Who cares? You say, Pastor, what do you mean? All right, think about it for just a minute. Vladimir Putin has made it very clear that he is propping up Assad, the ruler, the king in Syria. He's made no bones about it. Okay? Now, the Russians are targeting Muslims who want a global caliphate after they get rid of Assad. These freedom fighters want to get rid of Assad. Why? For the caliphate. That's their goal. That's their purpose. Now the Muslims that are that the U.S. say they're targeting, but they say they are, but there's no proof of it. But they say they are targeting ISIS, and the Muslims that the U.S. are targeting, ISIS, want a global caliphate right now. The ones Russia are targeting, the freedom fighters, they want the caliphate as soon as they get rid of Assad. Russia's fighting them. We're fighting ISIS, so they say, and ISIS wants a global caliphate right now. And they have already declared themselves to be the caliphate. So the proof is in, though. And Russia is lying, and everybody in D.C. knows it. They all know it. Everybody, the generals know it, Obama knows it, everybody knows it. They are targeting a group of Syrian Muslim rebels that are after Assad. Putin has made it very clear. He wants Assad to stay in power. Now, I'll explain to you why in just a minute. But there is in Syria a couple of factions, splinter groups of Al-Qaeda, the same mindset. They're splinter groups of ISIS, and they are called in our media, by our media, the freedom fighters of Syria. All right, now, Obama has been propping these freedom fighters up, spending millions and millions of dollars to train them. Millions of dollars. And at last report, there was 450 of them that they finished training. And they were so proud when they finished their training. But what you did not hear is that as soon as the training was over, they went over, joined ISIS, and gave their training manuals to ISIS. Now, isn't that dandy? I did hear that on Fox, on the 5 about a week ago. Greg Gutfeld said it. And I said, what? And so I looked it up, and sure enough, there's video of it. There's video of these guys decked out, guns, the helmets, the scopes, you name it, walking right into ISIS, greeting their old buddies. Absolutely amazing. Now, these freedom fighters, there are two groups of them. One is called Jaish al-Fatah, which means the army of conquest. You might remember that Yasser Arafat, remember Arafat? All right, he ran a political party in Gaza and in the West Bank that he called the Fatah Party. So same mindset, same mentality as this group of freedom fighters in Syria. The word Fatah comes right out of the Quran. When Allah had Muhammad open, hang on to that word, open, conquered Mecca. Once Mecca was captured and they made it into the a shrine, into a holy place. They opened that, and that's the word, fatah. They fatah, now we would put an ud on it for our English language, but they fatahed Mecca. Now, in Arabic, like Hebrew, words often have pictures that are connected with them. You have read, you have heard on the news how today these radical Muslims, whether it's ISIS, whether it's this group that I'm referring to here, this Jaish al-Fatah group, you've heard about how when they go into a city and they conquer that city, they kill all the men and they rape the women. All right? Now, they don't see what they're doing as rape. You say, well, do they know what they're doing? Sure, they know what they're doing, but they don't see, they don't understand that what they're doing is rape. It's all a part of their religion. What they see, how they see it, is opening the conquered. Fatah. Okay? And in their eyes, through their book, through the Quran, they feel that they have every legitimate right to commit these horrible acts. Despicable stuff, isn't it? Devilish stuff. So this Fatah movement that is sweeping Syria is with the design of an opening of Syria to the establishment of the caliphate. That's what they've got in mind. Folks, they have a plan. They know what they're doing. A few years ago, just back when we did all these studies on the second coming on Wednesday nights, back in 2010, I taught you that there are two basic groups of Muslims. There's the Shia Muslim and the Sunni Muslim. The Sunni, back a few years ago, had the mindset of just leaving well enough alone, and eventually their 12th Imam, their Messiah, the Mahdi, would show up and fatah the world for Allah. Open the world for Allah. I'm going to substitute. We're all adults here. Their view is when the Mahdi comes, they're going to rape the world for Allah. They're going to open the world for Allah. You won't have a choice. That's what their book teaches. The point is, folks, they're serious. We're still playing games with this here in our government. These people are dead set on what they're doing. The Shia, on the other hand, they have said since Osama bin Laden got them all fired up, the Shia said, no, let's go ahead and start the jihad now and set the world on fire and force Allah to send the Messiah. And that's what 9/11 was all about. It was to set the world on fire to hasten the coming of their Messiah. Well, in just 5 years since we did that study back in 2010 on Wednesday nights, in just 5 years, the whole Muslim world has ignited. You now have Sunni and Shia, although still splintered and still enemies of each other, but you've got all these new groups and these new organizations that have splintered off of them and have been established. And things today in the Middle East are moving so quickly, it's almost impossible to keep up with it. Now, keep in mind, Obama says Assad must go. And Putin says Assad must stay. Now, keep that in mind. What a mess. Now, here's what the world leaders today refuse to see. Obama and Merkel of Germany and all the other leaders of the European countries are all a bunch of progressive, liberal, do-gooder, socialist who are throwing open their borders to accommodate a flood of Islamic refugees who are pouring into their countries. Now, here's what you're not hearing. Where are they coming from? I submit to you folks that there are not enough people in Syria for what we're seeing being flooded into Europe and into America. And what has been uncovered and what has been revealed is Turkey is sending hundreds of thousands of Islamic terrorists into Europe. Let me rephrase that. Gog is sending hundreds of thousands of Islamic terrorists into Europe. And this is what has caused Vladimir Putin to get involved in the conflict. Well, that and a little wag the dog Clinton-style politicking, so that while everybody is watching him in Syria, he can take back the Ukraine. Now, Erdogan of Turkey, he sees himself as the man. And everybody else over there sees him as the man who will establish the caliphate. And he sees the Syrian war and the refugee crisis as his opportunity to put his design for the caliphate into operation. And what he's doing is spearheading all of this refugee crisis. And the ones that are going from quote-unquote Syria are not Syrians for the most part. But they are jihadis. They are coming in on manufactured fake passports. And the governments know it. But they're overwhelmed. And their leaders are sitting back and saying, let them in. Don't you find it strange? And this has been reported in America, not very much, but it has been reported. I've heard it, and I checked on it, and it's true. Obama will not take Christian refugees. But is allowing Muslim refugees into America by the thousands. He won't take Christian refugees. Now, folks, stop and think about, would you just think about what I'm saying here? Who is getting beheaded over in the Middle East? Christians. And yet they're not permitted to leave. Does that make any sense to anybody? And here's another little interesting thing. There are videos on several websites. You can go to any of them. And you'll see videos that show young, military age, Muslim men crashing the borders of the European countries. Young military age men. There are a few videos that, what's it called? Memory? M-E-M-R-I, I think is the name of it. They have some videos on there where people on trains in Europe are sitting with their cell phones video because the man or the lady who is videoing knows Arabic. And she is listening to the conversation that's going on. These boys don't realize that she understands every word they're saying. And when she hears what she hears, she turns her phone on to record it. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
No. No, you haven't seen that. You say, Pastor, what's it say? They are praising Allah that they made it through and into Europe. And they can't wait to get to Germany and get their apartment. And when they get their apartment, they can't wait to rape blonde European women. Just hooting it up about what they're going to do. Talking about the jihad, talking about all the beheadings that are going to take place in Europe in the name of Allah in the near future. They got a plan. They are executing their plan. And the idealistic progressives in Europe and in America have no idea what they are unleashing upon their people. They are bringing the Mahdi's army, the jihadist, right into their midst. And the unbelieving thing is, these jihadists know that is why they are there. They were sent there by Erdogan, by Gog. Do you remember when Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 2 that the spirit of Antichrist doth already work? Well, we're seeing it right now. This is what this is. If you watched the video a couple of weeks ago, and this was on all the news channels, CNN had it on, Fox had it on. I don't know about those others. My TV won't go to them for some reason. It might have to do with my fingers, but I just cannot turn them on. If I turn them on, I'm afraid they're going to get credit that I was watching it, and I just don't want them to get the credit. But if you watched the video just 2 weeks ago, you saw how many young military-age Muslim men were in those hordes of people that came crashing into Greece and Macedonia and Italy. You saw that. Hundreds of thousands. And it is believed that there are hundreds of thousands that are right behind them. Now, here's another missing thing that our media is not telling you. Our media is not telling you the reason for Vladimir Putin's sudden involvement. All right, listen very carefully. Vladimir Putin is a strong Russian Orthodox Catholic. The Russian Orthodox Church, That's the Russian Catholic Church. And Putin is a strong Russian Orthodox. The Russian Orthodox Church is being threatened by Islam. And Putin sees himself as another Constantine who is defending his people from Muslim expansion. We're not hearing the speeches that this man is giving, but this is what he is saying. And these freedom fighter groups in Syria are really bad, bad, bad guys. They're real bad guys. Turkey is at the same time sending jihadists, bad, bad, bad guys, all over Europe. And Turkey is recruiting jihadists to join these freedom fighters to try and take out Assad. So you got Turkey now and the United States, and Turkey is trying to prop up the Fatah movement to get rid of Assad. Why? Once Assad's out of the way, extreme radical Islam takes over. Can I remind you folks what happened in Egypt when Obama got rid of Mubarak? Can I remind you what happened in Libya when Obama got rid of Gaddafi? And now they're trying to do the same thing with Assad. Are you getting the picture? And Putin is up here in Russia. Now, I know that we have all been so programmed for 40, 50 years, we have been told that Gog is Russia, and it is so hard for us to realize that Russia is not the bad guy here. Islam is the bad guy here. And I don't agree with Putin. I think he's a communist. I don't agree with him ideologically, but let me tell you something, folks. The man is standing up for Christianity. And that's what's going on here. Now, do you remember all the stand countries? Remember all the stand countries we talked about? Those were all at one time a part of the Soviet Union. And Putin lost them. You know how he lost them? To Islam. That's what this takeover of Crimea is all about. That's Muslim Crimea. And you got the Orthodox Church and the Muslims flocking into it with Erdogan's support. And so Putin comes in and takes it over and says, nope, you're not persecuting the Russian Orthodox Church anymore. It's going to stop. So Erdogan is now recruiting out of the stand boys, all those stand countries that used to be part of the Soviet Union. And he is getting jihadists to come and fight in Syria. The people of Turkmenistan, they're Turkish by descent. They are Turks. And so when Turkey calls, they're ready to go. They're ready to go. They settled in the Baltic region. And but they're Turks, and they're willing to fight for Erdogan and for the cause of the caliphate. They're more than willing. And they're coming in to help Erdogan try to get rid of Assad. He even has Muslims in Western China, a place called Uyghur, who have enlisted in the battle. Now, why is Putin involved? Well, you know, when we think of Syria, where this war is raging, it is so much different than most of the other Islamic countries in the Middle East. Assad has been friendly to the Christians, just as his daddy was. Syria and Iraq have huge Orthodox or Christian populations. Huge. There are more Christians in Iraq than there are Muslims in Iraq. And there are tons, thousands upon thousands of Christians in Syria, the Syrian Orthodox Church. The Syrian church can trace its root all the way back to the first century. Remember in the book of Acts, and they were first called Christians in where? Antioch, which is Syria. Assad, the king of Syria, for decades has allowed the Christian churches to exist and to thrive in Syria. And now, here comes these anti-Assad Muslim extremist groups who are trying to kill Bashar al-Assad and topple him as Syria's king. And all these groups that are doing this are aligned with Al-Qaeda and with ISIS. Now, Putin knows, listen carefully, Putin knows if these radicals overthrow Assad, that hundreds of thousands of Christians will be slaughtered, just like they were in Libya, just like they were in Egypt, just like they are being slaughtered in Iraq and where the Kurds live in Iraq. That's who ISIS is killing. That's who Al-Qaeda is killing. And Putin knows that tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of Christian Syrians will die. He knows this. All right, now let me stop right here. All right, give your seatbelt one little tug. I don't want anybody to fall out on the floor. Listen to me. Obama knows this too. Obama knows this too. But if you have paid attention over the last 7 years, every decision that this man has ever made as president of the United States has been to aid and to help the Muslim cause and to hurt the Christians. Every decision. You had Mubarak in Egypt, you had Gaddafi in Libya, you had Saddam Hussein in Iraq. Every decision. If Assad is overthrown, mark it down, folks. There's going to be a slaughter in Syria, the likes of which would turn your stomach. So here is Obama saying Assad has to go, knowing full well that if he is overthrown, the freedom fighters, who are all of the same jihadist mindset as ISIS and Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, will begin the same thing in Syria that ISIS has been doing in Iraq. And that is cleansing the country of anything Christian. So Putin sees himself as a, or who sees himself as a Christian, and he sees himself as saving Christianity from the evil Muslim jihadist. You say, Pastor, are you saying that the United States is on the wrong side of this thing? Bingo. Probably shouldn't say bingo in church, but bingo. Yes. That's what I'm saying. We have been ever since this man took office. ISIS came into being because of the failed leadership of this country. His generals told him not to pull the United States out of Iraq, but he would not listen to them. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. We've got same-sex marriage now. I mean, the Middle East is on fire, but we got same-sex marriage now. We have a nuclear agreement with Iran that gives the main jihadist nuclear bombs and millions and millions of dollars. I'm telling you, folks, everything's backwards. And this is all just the spirit of Antichrist at work. The stage is being set. The Lord's coming back. Are you ready? I mean, just look at what the damage in the last 7 years. The damage. Spend millions of money to train these freedom fighters and equip them, and then they walk out the gate and go join ISIS. Unreal. But we have same-sex marriage in America now. We have marijuana legalized. We have the religion of climate change being preached to us every single day in some fashion or form. We're aborting babies and selling their organs in the name of scientific research. We have thousands of jihadis that are being brought into America, and we're giving them housing and food stamps and free health care and free everything, and not one senator or one congressman in the district of corruption is doing a thing to stop it. Not a one. Instead, they vote for the budget that funds all this corruption and all this idiocy. I'm telling you, America has lost her soul. And we're now seeing commercials with same-sex couples, and we're just supposed to just sit there and take it. We're seeing commercials where smiling, beautiful, handsome, gorgeous Muslim couples are selling products to Americans like it's just another day. This is the new America. So get used to it. That's the attitude. So folks, don't tell me that the day of the Lord is not at hand. It is. What we are seeing in the Middle East today is now spreading around the globe, and the prophecies of the Quran are lining up exactly as the Islamic prophets have been preaching in their mosques that it's going to line up. The devil has infiltrated Europe, Asia, Africa, and now North America, with a standing army who will gladly take up arms when the call for jihad is given. Today in America, today in Europe, there are no-go zones. No-go zones. You say, Pastor, what's that? These are Muslim areas where the governments in Europe have ceded these districts to complete Muslim control. They're not under the laws of their country, but they're under Sharia law. Sharia courts handle the disputes. They try the cases. They patrol the streets. They're Islamic cities within the cities. Their ideology controls their every thought. That's the point, folks. And they're working this ideology. Today, we need to get ready. The Lord's coming back. You see, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. All right, we're going to be raptured out of here. That's what our book teaches us. When Noah was safely on the ark, then the flood came. Then the judgment came. When Lot was safely out of Sodom, then the fire and brimstone came down. The judgment came. And when the church is raptured out and is safely in heaven, when the true believer is in heaven, then the judgment's going to come, the tribulation period. And what you and I need to realize is we have a book that tells us everything that's coming. Folks, know your Bible. Get in your Bible. Read it, learn it, love it, hug it. Keep it near and dear. It may be one day the only thing you have to hang on to. It may be the only thing you have to hold on to. And so here is our nation and here is our world that is being set up. The stage is set. The stage is set. It's getting near. I remind you, the Lord Jesus said, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. In such an hour as you think not. I know that many folks are worried to death about the future. But listen, if you are a Christian, you need to understand that the future is as secure as the God you serve. Muslim ideology is driving the Muslims. And Christian ideology needs to be driving Christians. Stay with it, Christian. Don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get discouraged because you're on the winning side. And we read here what Isaiah said. And what he says is, thou shalt fall. Gog, the Antichrist, will fall. Gog will fall on the mountains of Israel. Now this is at least 7 years from tonight. That is, should the rapture happen tonight. And if it does, amen. If it doesn't happen tonight, if it happens tomorrow, then it's 7 years from tomorrow. But God has a plan. And our problem is we don't read the Bible enough to know what the plan is. So let me challenge you to get in the book. Let me challenge you to know your Bible and learn your Bible and realize that the Lord is coming back soon. He promised he would. Those two angels came to the disciples as they were standing on the Mount of Olives and they're gazing up into heaven, trying to get one more glimpse before the Lord Jesus was completely out of sight. And these angels said, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, not a different one, same one. The same one that was here and died on the cross. The same one that was buried in a borrowed tomb and the same one that resurrected from that tomb. The same one that for 40 days they were in his presence. That same Jesus will come again as you've seen him go. How did they see him go? In the clouds. And Paul said that the day is coming when he's going to step back on the clouds. And the trumpet will sound. Gabriel will blow the horn. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, then those of us that are alive and remain. So there will be a generation living when Christ comes back. I hope we're that generation. And I believe we are. So let's not get weary in well-doing. How important it is that we know what the Bible says. We need to know the Bible.